Let me begin by saying I've been looking forward to this day for a couple of months, trying to get time with all this COVID stuff to get all this in, because this is exciting. It's exciting to see God at work in lives. It's exciting to see God at work in our church. But part of the question you have to ask yourself at the end of a day like this, number one, how'd the devil get in the details? As we're getting ready for the service, we're letting water out of the baptismal, and the plug doesn't want to go back in like it's supposed to, and the projector doesn't want to work. And so we're going to sing without words on the screen, but Greg's going to lead us through that as well. But as we're doing that, I thought, God is at work, but we are still in a world where Satan opposes everything that God's trying to do. And why do we, in the midst of that, take the time to bring folks as members into our church? Why is church membership important at all? Or is it? Because we looked at that passage. If you've got your Bibles to that passage that Jordan just read in Acts chapter 2, there's exciting things happening. Peter speaks. Peter, of all people, Peter, the one who denied the Lord just days before this, speaks, and 3,000 people come to the Lord. And there's baptisms taking place in verse 41. And then they're added to the church. Members of the church. And as I tried to think through, what's the best way to do this, and I knew I was going to have a short period of time, let me tell you that this is part one. I'm not going to take a lot more time out of our Romans series to do this, so I am going to take it out this morning, but we are going through Marks of a Healthy Church, and I'm going to be doing the church membership one in just a few weeks. So whatever you don't get now, you're going to get then. We were in a prayer meeting Friday morning with some of the men, and I told them I was a little bit concerned about my time commitment, didn't know how long to make my message. And I won't tell you the name of Danny Bunker, who looked at me and said, sometimes I've heard preachers say the best sermon's just an amen at the end and just sit down and let the Lord work. And I thought about that, but I still got at least 7 minutes, so I didn't want to give up all my time. Because as I thought about what membership really means, and I don't know how often you've looked at it, but if you get out and some of you blow the dust off, and if you need a copy, ask Renee and we can get a copy. But if you look in the back of our church constitution, there's a covenant. It's a covenant which, and I had to look it up. I said, now, what is a covenant really? I had all kinds of ideas. I said, what does Webster say that a covenant is? A covenant is basically a formal agreement. It's a promise from me to you and you to me. And when we join Bethany Bible Church, there's a covenant in the back that says, this is what I'm promising to do. And I'm not going to go through every single, I don't even think I could read through every single point of it right now without running out of time this morning. But I wanted to read a few of those things to you. Because that covenant begins saying, having been led by the Holy Spirit to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and on public confession of our faith and baptism in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, we do now, in the presence of God and this assembly, solemnly and joyfully enter into this covenant with one another as one body in Christ. The purpose of the covenant is to tell us, what now? We had 5 people come and say, I want to be a part of Bethany Bible Church. What does that mean? What does that mean to them? And what does that mean to us? And this covenant kind of explains some of those things for us. Now, the covenant's not from one verse of Scripture. You've got to pull verses out from Scripture to find out where they came from. But I went through the whole covenant this week, and there's Scripture for every one of these things. And let me just share a few of them with you. The first section of our covenant are promises concerning the church. What are we going to be? How are we going to make that all work together? When we bring in new members, what are they stepping into? What are they getting into? Number one, it says, we purpose, therefore, by the aid of the Holy Spirit. And before we go into any of these things, can I remind you that without the Holy Spirit, that's Romans chapter 8. I could start preaching, but we'll be busy all afternoon. We're going to get there next week. But without the help of the Holy Spirit, none of this stuff works. But by the aid of the Holy Spirit, we will, number one, walk together in Christian love. We come together and we join together as members in the body of Christ, in a local body, saying we are going to walk together in Christian love. You read through this book and the Christian life after getting saved isn't supposed to be the story of the Lone Ranger. He's not made us that way. He's made us to be in community. You look at Acts chapter 2, and they got into such community that they shared all things together, and you get preaching through that, and everybody debates. That doesn't sound like capitalistic America. Or, well, how do we make that work? I'm not getting into that today either, but what we need to do is walk together in Christian love. Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2 puts it this way. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. It's one thing to look at that covenant and say, we're going to walk in Christian love because we're Christians. It's another thing to define, what does it mean to walk in Christian love? How does walking in Christian love impact me on a day-by-day basis, on a week-by-week basis? And to walk in Christian love, Paul sets the bar pretty high. What does he say there in Ephesians chapter 5? We are to walk in love as... He could have filled in that blank with all kinds of things, but what did he say? As Christ loved us. Christ gave the ultimate sacrifice for you and for me on Calvary. And he said, we are to walk as Christ loved us. And he gave himself up for us. In case that's not clear enough words on what that means, Paul, talking to the Galatians in chapter 5 and verse 13, further reiterates it this way. He says, for you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Walking in Christian love is walking in a life of serving other people. And that service idea is often found in the church, but you know where we often get into trouble? Instead of looking at it as this is my opportunity to come and to serve people when we get together, what kind of creeps in at times? This is my opportunity to be served. I've had a tough week. You ought to serve me. You know, I've been trying to make sure the baptismal was filled and the electronics are working. And on top of that, I got to preach a short message. I've had a tough week. You should come in and serve me. And you look and you say, Pastor, get a grip. You know, that's not even a problem. But we do that in our lives. And when we look at the church, it's weird to walk in Christian love, serving one another. And that serving one another in love is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. It's not your idea of service. It's not my idea of service. Here's God's idea of what it means to serve in love. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Love is patient and kind. Isn't that a wonderful way to start? You like it when people are patient with you? Do people ever have to be patient with you? You know, newsflash, you're going to have to be patient with other people too. This whole one another thing sounds great until we spend time with one another. And suddenly, there's Christian love that needs to take place. And we need to actually be loving in patience and kindness. But then it goes further. Love does not envy or boast. Who's the Christian life all about? You know, you listen to these testimonies today, and it's easy to say, well, let me tell you about me. But the exciting thing is, look what God's doing in them. Look what God's doing in other people. It doesn't have to be about me. You know, you ever get in a conversation with someone where you can't get two or three words in before you mention a topic and they've got to tell you about how they did that? Or how they had a more exciting adventure than you did? Or how they fill in the blank, how they're smarter than you or more talented than you? And you look at that and you say, well, sometimes isn't that just irritating? And I thought about it. Why does that irritate me? Because I'd rather talk about me. And love's not like that. Christian love is patient and kind. It serves other people. It doesn't envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. Yeah, we ought to be able to come into church, and this ought to be a respite for us for the week. When we get together as believers, we ought to find ourselves to be at rest because we have people who are patient and kind, and we're not envying and boastful. We're not arrogant and rude. And Paul should have stopped there because he goes on in verse 5 and says, it does not insist on its own way. I'll be honest. How many of you like to get your own way? Yeah, one honest people, and the rest of you just aren't being honest today. Because I've talked, a couple. Okay, I like getting my way. You know, you know why there's all these jokes about Dad having the remote? It's because they're true. When we sit down to watch TV, I want to watch what I want to watch. You know, my kids come home and they want to watch this. There's this round ball. And you get these gargantuan people running up and down the court and throwing it into a hoop. And it's the most boring thing on the face of the earth to watch. And they want to watch basketball all the time. And I'm like, I don't want to watch basketball. And so I hide the remote. I try to turn it off. I am the king in my house. But basketball's still on, so I think I've been deposed. But, you know, you look at that and you say, that's one small way. But then we get in the church and everybody wants church to run their way. The way they're comfortable, the way they like things. And love is not insisting on its own way. Now, there's certain things that have to be done right in the church, but that's because they're God's way. And we need to discern the difference. And we need to get together and say, we want to be unified. We want to be what God wants us to be. We want to love one another and be patient and kind. And it goes on and it says here, it rejoices with the truth. My time's almost up, and I'm only going to get through point number one of 15 points, but it rejoices in the truth. Did you rejoice in those testimonies? Yeah, that's part of what I was looking forward to, because it's so exciting to see God at work. It's so exciting to hear people. You know, we had young people stand up today and testify for Jesus Christ in a world that's going nuts, because God is still at work, and we can rejoice in that as things happen with the truth. And then love bears all things. You know, love puts up with things. That's another problem with the one another's. The one another's don't always see it my way. Hopefully they'll come around to the truth someday, but they don't always see it my way. And you know what I have to do at times? In love, I bear with people. Paul, in another passage, says basically putting up with one another in love. Because we are a family. We're a family in Christ. And that's why that membership is so important, that we're a family in Christ, committed to one another, bearing all things, believing all things. Love's optimistic. It looks to the bright side. Is there a bright side in 2020? You saw it this morning. God's still at work. God's not up there wringing his hands saying, oh no, I don't know what they're going to do next. You know, they're going to close down my churches. They're not going to let people share the gospel. God's not wondering and God's not worried. So why are we? Because if all we need is God, we have all we need. It goes on, it says, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. You're going to have to endure some things. If you get to know me, you'll have to endure some things. I've gotten to know some of you. I'm trying to endure some things. That's this life. That's what love does. Why? Because we are one in Christ. Because we are a family in Christ. And this ought to be a place where we can come wounded and broken and after the battle of the week and find refreshment in Jesus Christ. Refreshment in one another. Refreshment in the fact that the gospel is being taught here. People are growing here. And people love one another. And they're walking in Christian love. And then verse 8 of chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians says, love never ends. It should go on and on and on. So that any time we're gathered together, any time we walk through this door, it ought to be Christian love in action. And that's point number one. And I look at that and I think, why is that so important? We're going to look at the other pieces, but there's where the key is. Because when the love of Christ flows out from us to other folks, that's God at work. And when you're not together with God's people, the love of Christ cannot flow from you into someone else's life. It doesn't happen vicariously. I tell you, after being through some of this COVID stuff and this online stuff, it's hard to happen online. But when we get together as God's people, it makes a difference in our lives. Membership, faithfulness, walking in Christian love, and that's only the first point we're going to look at. Let's pray. Father, as we continue to think about membership today and these wonderful people that you brought into our membership here, the opportunity to get to know them, to care for them, to love them, to bear their burdens, to uphold them in prayer. Lord, so many things that we could have talked about today. We pray that, number one, Christian love might exemplify our lives as we walk together. May we grow together in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and may we be known at Bethany Bible Church as a church that walks in love as we walk together, hand in hand, supporting one another, aiding one another, looking for the glorious hope of the return of Jesus Christ together. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.